With great mojo comes great responsibility. Mojo 5-0.
Mojo 5-0.
We will make America great again.
Sam Sorbo.
Hi there. Welcome to the Sam Sorbo Show. I'm joined by guest Shane Trotter. He's a high school educator. He's also a fitness coach at the high school. And he wrote an article on Quillette recently called Remedial Education for All. And it's really struck me. I love Quillette. If you're not a subscriber to Quillette, I highly recommend it. It seems to be a fairly neutral politically, in the sense that she'll publish pretty much anybody's stuff, but is very, very discerning about who she publishes. So opinions are not as important to her as simply really, really good in-depth research and writing. And Shane wrote this article about remedial education that really struck me because it gave me a new perspective on what teachers have to put up with in the classroom. So welcome to the show, Shane Trotter, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Shane comes to us currently from the high school where he coaches and teaches. And so, but he's on his study hall, I guess. So it's great to speak with you. The article really struck me because, to sum it up, you get remedial students in classes because the idea is, let's not single these kids out and remove them from the mainstream. Let's mainstream them, which seems like that's a great idea. Sort of on the face of it, we want kids to get involved in their communities and to be like other kids and to get along and all that. But at the same time, you place a burden on the teacher because you tell the teacher, listen, this child is just not good at writing essays. So on his exams, leave off the essay questions, just give him multiple choice. And this other child, they might need a little bit of extra help. So give them the test prep questions, like basically give them the cheat sheet for the exam, because they need a little bit of a special handling. And then what happens is the teachers get to the point where they've got three or four or five of these kids in their classes, and they just don't want to have the extra hassle of keeping them all straight. You know, Johnny gets the test prep, and Susie gets the only multiple choice, and Jimmy gets the other thing, whatever that might be. And so the teachers then just say, you know what, rather than single out these kids, let me just do the same for everybody. And that puts the entire class on the remedial education path. Am I saying that wrong?
No, you're right on. I think it goes back to what I call in my book and what I've often referred to as the cost of utopian delusions. So it's this idea that we can do everything and we should do everything. We should be able to equalize every force in society that you know, every child has disadvantages, and we should be able to quantify each advantage, mitigate it, and make sure that society is absolutely as fair as possible to each and every child. And of course, that's impossible. And so in the process, what we've done is we've infantilized our children by leading them to expect that we will do these things. And we have lowered the bar for all. You know, standards have become, you know, a means of leaving people behind in many people's eyes. So we devalue the standards, or we pretend that teachers are going to be able to mitigate all these concerns. They're going to be able to take into account every single IEP 504 accommodation without sacrificing standards for everyone else. And when all the incentives are pushing the teacher to focus there, and there's not many incentives to actually achieve a standard of learning. You know, grade inflation makes it so that we can create the illusion of learning, often at the expense of learning. That's where teachers are going to place the majority of their attention. They only have so many resources and time.
How long do you think you'll be able to keep your job?
That's my biggest fear. You know, with kids now, I have a 3-year-old and a 4.5-year-old. This is just too important not to talk about. I don't think the current path we're on is viable long term, both for our kids and for our nation at large. So to me, it became you have to do what you think is right. So that's where I am.
Yeah. So Shane wrote a book, and I have it right here. It's called Setting the Bar. I got the pre-sale copy, so this one I can't sell you. But it's called Setting the Bar, Preparing Our Kids to Thrive in an Era of Distraction, Dependency, and Entitlement. So you're going, I mean, the article was one thing. Your book actually delves into even more of this infantilization of children, which is a new, let's see. So you probably know that I'm a homeschool advocate, and yes. That's where my focus is. And one of the things that I was talking to my daughter about the other day, she met a friend who she's been in contact with on social media for quite a while, because they live in different towns, and they finally met up. And her comment to me was, "Mom, this young woman is so young, and the girl goes to school. She goes to a private Catholic school, and she's a lovely young woman, and she's very young. And my daughter, and they're both 15, 16 years old. My daughter is, you know how we say some people are old souls? My daughter is just very mature and always has been. And so we started talking about this idea that when you keep children with other children and they don't socialize with adults, you're actually, that's one step to infantilizing them. When they are fed by these other kids with very childish ideas all the time, right? Because kids are kids. Then how are they supposed to mature into adults? And we think our culture, because everybody goes to school, because that's what we do, right? The whole cultural idea, the ethos is everybody just becomes an adult gradually, eventually, with responsibility. But that's not really true, right?
Absolutely. It's another thing I'm responding to in the book. There's an absence of actual competencies that we expect of all kids. And there's no deadline to dependency in the modern world. I think we've shoved that further and further back. So because of that, the Pareto principle, you will delay until, however long you can, you're going to delay whatever you're trying to accomplish. So that's the procrastination idea. So because there's no deadline to dependency, because we've removed actual rites of passage and any standard of competency that might make someone feel bad, we've infantilized our children, and they are lost for it. They're the ones who suffer. We've brought the 60s brought the self-esteem movement. But it's failed. Roy Baumeister did a large meta-analysis of it and very decisively showed that self-esteem movement has not worked, because there's not an actual sense of confidence, because confidence is built from tackling challenges and seeing that you can overcome adversity. And that is what we're removing over and over again.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back with the Sam Sorbo Show. If you're listening on podcast or radio, join me at sorbos.locals.com for more of this interview, because I want to talk to Shane about the infantilization of our youth and then what that does to our parents and basically to our society as a whole. I know your focus is on children, but children grow up, and we're dealing with multiple generations of this sort of ethos that we've imposed on children. So go to sorbos.locals.com for more with Shane Trotter. If you're interested, I highly recommend this book, Setting the Bar. I'm so grateful for my copy, by the way, Shane. And of course, my second born is named Shane, so we already have an affinity. This is where it's at, folks. And I've said this before, it's all about education. So stay tuned. I'll be right back for you. And if you want more of this interview, go to sorbos.locals.com. All right. This is the Sam Sorbo Show.
Hi there. This is Sam Sorbo. So Kevin and I have discovered a great American company that shares our values, supports the work that we're doing in restoring our culture and rescuing it from the lies of the left. And they are called Nutramedics.com with an X, Nutramedics. So check out sorbo.nutramedics.com for great health and wellness products, like my favorite, the Stress Support Kit, which I've been using every day, twice a day. I find it very effective. And so that's my tip for the day. Go to sorbo.nutramedics with an X.com. And don't forget to use the code SORBO at checkout for 20% off. By the way, they're only running this for a short time. I think it ends at the end of this month. So check it out and let me know how you do. You can go to samsorbo.com for all things Sam Sorbo, including emailing me. And if you want a version, a copy of that really fabulous poster behind me, my Words for Warriors poster, very proud of it. It's selling like hotcakes, which is also a lot of fun. So go to samsorbo.com and we'll see you there. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in. All right. Welcome back to the Sam Sorbo Show. My guest now is actually a new friend, I probably should say, although I've known her for a little bit. Jill Simonian is the director of outreach for PragerU, Resources for Educators and Parents. She's a former TV host and a media contributor, and she's the founder of the Fab Mom blog. She's also a published author. She's got a big, long credentials list, but right now she's the face at PragerU for their education outreach. And she just recently published a video that's going viral as we speak about the crisis that we have in our education, where she did some investigative journalism, conducted some interviews. And this I have to recommend. I've posted the video on Facebook and on Twitter, et cetera, because I want this out there, because parents have to understand what they're up against. Jill Simonian, thanks so much for coming on the Sam Sorbo Show.
Thank you, Sam. You have been a longtime light for all of us and me personally this year. So I really appreciate talking to you again. Thank you.
Do you remember the email that you sent me just recently?
Yes.
Okay. If you can't quote it, I can. Go ahead.
I don't know if I can quote. I don't have it pulled up. But what I said was essentially, thank you for being a voice for parents and children and students, and frankly, unbiased teachers who are trying to show everyone what has been happening in the education system. And many months ago, when I first started working for PragerU Kids, you and I did a Zoom interview, and you were so gracious. You said, yeah, you know, let's do this Zoom interview. And you started talking about how imperative it was for parents to open their eyes and learn that in our education system, kids are not being educated. They're being schooled, and we're all being schooled. And at the time, admittedly, I was very ignorant about what was happening. And I thought, oh, okay, well, she's been a proponent for home education for a long time. That's not really my thing. I don't know if I believe in that. You were right. Everything you talked about was spot on. You opened my eyes personally, as well as thousands of other parents across this country now, that we are seeing how compromised everything is. And you gave me the courage to really start investigating educational alternatives that aligned with my family's values and beliefs and how I want my kids to learn. And I pulled my kids out of our longtime, once beloved public school because there was just too much corruption and too many clashing things going on. And I said, I need to listen to Sam Sorbo. What would Sam Sorbo do? She would pull her kids out and find an alternative. And yeah.
So the thing that you said to me is, I will never forget something you said on the Zoom we did. You can still fight the fight. Just take your children off the front lines.
Yes.
That's really what it boils down to. So you finally figured it out. You're like, oh my gosh, my kids will suffer the consequences while I'm fighting this fight. I got to get them out of the way. And that's really the whole message. I'll be honest, Jill, I don't think that we can save education. I don't think so, but I'm not against fighting the good fight and trying to get it done. I just, the whole system is a perversion of what education should be. So I don't know how to remedy that. And the problem that we're facing today is that we've all been schooled, not educated. So we have no idea what education is until we get into the paradigm of the parent mentoring the child. The parent becomes the lead learner. I don't have to know everything about art, and I certainly don't, but my child does, because I have taught her how to learn. And so then she has gone out and sought the information that she wants. And boy, is she methodical about it, because I taught her how to learn. There's a methodology to learning, and she knows how it works. So she just goes and does the research, and she is very knowledgeable about art, which is something that as the parent, you would think, oh, well, I homeschooled her, so I must have taught her everything she knows. No, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. And you and I went to school, and so we learned that the teacher knows everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And I got to tell you, this whole journey, what's happening personally with my daughters who are of the elementary school age, as well as putting together this mini documentary for PragerU called Miseducated. I realize now that in many ways I have been miseducated about what I thought the education system currently is. My sister is a teacher who is frankly beside herself about what is currently happening in the system. My mother was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. I grew up with this affection and respect and deep reverence for our teachers, and they are amazing. And we still have thousands and thousands of amazing teachers in this country. But I was miseducated myself about what the system actually is right now. And once your eyes are open, it's like on my social media, I've been saying my eyes are open now and I can't unsee this. I can't unsee this. And it's so wrong. And I do agree with you. I don't know how much of it can be saved and salvaged, but I do think we're in an era now where there's a reckoning of this system. And we see parents so angry in all of these viral videos at school board meetings. And there is small progress being made here and there to sort of miss the iceberg, so to speak. But I mean, but people like you have seen this for decades. And it's like, it's like the human part of me wants to issue this apology saying, we are sorry, we did not see this, but we're here now. We're here now. Late to the game, but we're here.
So the mini documentary, which is called Miseducated, is so well named. You've been miseducated. I've been miseducated. None of us really have that education to understand. But what we do know is that what's happening right now is wrong. And so we are really trying to at least fix that. I my problem is this. The parents go to the school board. They say, hey, school board, shame on you. Don't be doing that. Right?
Right.
But what are they going to do? Change the schools back to the thing that got us where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Yes.
So how is that fixing it when that brought us to where we are today? And frankly, you've got teachers in Ohio that have banded together that have said, I don't care if you tell me not to teach CRT, I'm still going to teach it. By the way, let's just talk quickly about the mini documentary, because you've compiled a number of clips of these irate parents that are standing up to the system. You've put together the evidence of the pornography that's in the schools. I don't know if this got on the mini documentary, but did you see the mayor that went, I think this was also in Ohio, actually, went to the school board meeting and said that he just spoke with the judge. And the judge says, absolutely, this material is child pornography and should not be anywhere near young people. And for that reason, he called on the entire school board to either resign or face prosecution.
Yes, we saw that. Now, our video was produced and edited by the whole Prager team, PragerU team. Yeah. Weeks ago, it was edited. But this video that you're talking about just came out, and we all watched it. And it was one of those epic moments where it is the mayor of that town. Yeah. Now, if the mayor of your town is going to really hunker down and say, you guys need to wake up. I want to go back to something you said. We go to these school board meetings. I mean, myself included, we make our points. We have parents band with us to make our points against all of this stuff, rejecting all of this DEI, CRT, all of these things. But in the end, we are faced with the same issue of district administrators and school board members sitting there staring at us like this and nodding their heads, and then they don't do anything. Yeah. And we've seen this, and it really is an issue. And it goes back to what you were saying, where there really, I don't know if there's a way to fix it. And maybe it's only because I just did this, but I'm thinking, perhaps the only way to fix this is to pull our children out of schools and find alternatives. That is where we're at now.
Well, first and foremost, you got to save your kids, because you're not going to fix it in time before they are exposed to whatever it is. I mean, they're teaching second graders lubrication. Yeah. There's no excuse for that. Your second grader will be taught that if you leave them in school today. And you might trust your teacher, and that only goes so far. Because you're not in the classroom. The other thing is, you don't know what the other kids are going to be talking about. So if it's not your teacher, maybe it's the other second grade teacher. And then all the second graders have lunch together, and then they have that conversation, and then your child is exposed to it. So there's that. But you're saying, okay, the school board just sits there with like a glossy eyed face. Like, well, I just have to sit here and take this for the next hour and a half, but then I can go home and do whatever the crap I want. And that's the truth. And the reason is because they are ideologues. Now, I'm not saying every school board member everywhere is, but any school board that is putting through the stuff that that your documentary covers, they are ideologues. They are owned by the Communist Party. They are trained by the Communist Party because they're trained by the unions, and the unions are communist. And there's no getting around that. And the teachers' unions are communist, okay? So if your teacher, here's a great litmus question. Ask your teacher, do you belong to the union? That ought to tell you a lot. Because nowadays, and by the way, I do want to get this across. I don't know if this is, I don't know if this can help you. But my understanding is that if you can get 50% plus one teacher to say that they won't join the union, to not join the union, you can kick the union out of your school. And that's a big, big step.
I love that. I love that. Yes.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Jill. You've got to be very stealthy about this, because if the union hears that a teacher won't re-up or what have you, they will come after her hard, or him hard. And so you've got to get the teachers to be very quiet about it, and I'll do it in one day and be done with it. And then you can kick out the union. But you're still going to have the union training your school board. And the other problem that we face is all these teachers, where do they come from? They come from the school education system.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So you're trimming the tree, but the root is still in the ground.
Yes.
I'm not sure where you go from there.
I know. And that's really, that is exactly where all of us now with young kids are at, because all of us who know how wrong this is, all of us know how wrong it is to divide kids against each other by color of their skin. We know how wrong it is to teach kindergartners to ask them, oh, what gender do you identify with? We know all of this is wrong. And so those of us that have the will and the guts to sit, to stand up and fight and at least try and do something for the sake of doing what's right. I mean, it's not easy. This has not been a fun, happy, joyful ride for any of us the past year. You know that. But those of us who believe that we have to stand up against it, it's like we're fighting and we're fighting and we're fighting. But yeah, the root is still in the ground. And so at some point you have to say, what is the tactical action that's actually going to make a difference. And yeah, for me, it was removing my kids from the front lines, as we said. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And then I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more with Jill about Miseducated, this mini documentary that literally is going viral, brought to you from PragerU. And I mean, you guys have such a great team over there. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Jill Simonian. This is the Sam Sorbo Show. Hi, this is Sam Sorbo. Kevin and I have discovered a great American company that supports our traditional values and the work we're doing to restore our culture from the lies of the left. Check out sorbo.nutramedics.com for great health wellness products. Like my favorite, they have a stress support kit, which I use every day. And I have to say, it really does help. So check it out at sorbo.nutramedics.com. And don't forget to use the code SORBO at checkout. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the Sam Sorbo Show. My guest is Jill Simonian. She is the director of educational outreach over at PragerU. And she's done this video called Miseducated. And it really is lovely. It's 15 minutes. It's quite succinct, but it hits on all of these issues that we are seeing now in our schools. Issues that, of course, some of us have been very attuned to for longer than this, but COVID has really done us a tremendous favor because it's taken the blinders off in a sense. And parents are really waking up and they're irate. So now it's about trying to save the schools. And part of the reason is because we so want our children to get a good education, right?
Right. Yes. We want our kids educated. And I'm going to quote you, educated, not schooled.
Right. And so the next step to that, Jill, is to understand that education doesn't happen in a classroom.
And that's what I myself am learning now. I am learning that education begins with the parents making a commitment, making a conscious effort to decide when and how we want our children to learn. I'm a mom of two elementary school kids, and something that I always took for granted was, oh, they're going to learn that at school. They're going to learn it at school and all is going to be great because I felt like I learned it at school, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm realizing now, especially through last year with COVID, it's like we got the windows to the classrooms and I was seeing the lessons that were coming through on my daughter's Zoom classes. One of my daughter in particular, her teacher, every time there was a lesson about, oh, say, the California missions or September 11th or name your topic in American history, everything was editorialized with an opinion. Oh, wasn't that mean? Oh, well, they really weren't bad people. Oh, well, and I'm listening to these quote unquote lessons and I thought this is not education. So then at that point, I took it upon myself to tell my daughter, listen, here's the history. This was the sequence of events. This is how it relates to our world today. And it clicked and I realized, oh, us parents are responsible for,
sorry.
I mean? Yeah. No, I don't mind. I know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because it's true. Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
This person that I don't know is telling my child stuff that's wrong.
Yes.
And I've codified it because I'm saying to my child, listen to her because she knows better than I do.
Exactly.
But it's not true. She doesn't know better than I do.
No, it's true. It's like I look back and the whole thing seems like this weird, twisted reality, but I guess that's what we are in now. We are in a twisted reality now. So yeah, but no, yeah, you're right.
So So now your kids are in a private Christian school. Yes. Is it? Yes. Did you tell me it's classical?
It is. It is. And I took a look at the reading books that was on the summer reading list, and my kids have read a few of them, but it was like a whole world opened up to me. And I'm looking at this list of classic literature, and I thought, oh my, how have I forgotten that these stories exist? And my kids have already started reading. My older daughter now has read, she's on her third book. She's on Baby Island right now. She's reading Baby Island. And my younger girl just finished Farmer Boy. And so we're really, you know, expanding our knowledge and education through books that, quite frankly, need to be in all schools because they teach children how to think and how to interpret hard language. And that's exercise for their brain. And I realize now, oh my goodness, they weren't getting that before.
Yeah. The classics also deal with values.
Yes.
How to discern right from wrong. And I highly encourage you, if it's a book that you haven't read, read it. They're fun. Some really great classic literature that just is wonderful. And have those conversations with your child. Why do you suppose he chose to do this? Do you think that was the right choice? Because that's what classic literature does. And that's why it's classic. It's because it's testing these time-worn choices that people make and putting them in front of children in a way that's palatable for a child, but also that where the child can say, ooh, so, you know, when we read, we have an avatar in the book that is us, and we identify with the character in the book. And then when the character reaps consequences, that's an opportunity for us to sort of imagine those consequences to us. And are those the consequences that we would want? And so it's a learning experience. Education is really learning the discernment of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. But we in our culture have changed it to say education is passing a test.
Right.
And that's just the wrong paradigm. So I'm thrilled that your kids are getting that exposure and you're seeing it. How are you going to, so I want to know, you know, what's the next step for your outreach at PragerU? And also, I want to talk about this because you're like, where did these books go? Like, why aren't these in the classroom? And the reason is because they have dumbed down the literature, and they've also inserted a bunch of what I call scare porn. So there's a lot of children's literature that is very scary and gory, and there's a formula to it. It's like every 7 or 8 pages is like a jump scare with a lot of blood or gore in the literature. There's also a lot of pornography in the literature. That kids, and you covered that a little bit in the mini doc that you did.
Right.
One thing that the schools are now doing, and I can't remember what they're calling it, but it's like got a really, a really great name, like advanced reading or something. And they have books in the classroom that are the quote, I know you're laughing because it's hilarious. It's the quote unquote advanced reading books or something like that. And those books are not allowed to leave the classroom. So you as a parent may not see those books. And that should make you very, very wary. So there's some fodder for your next documentary.
That's a great, you know, that is something that is so important to bring up because we discussed that whole icing out the parents thing in a portion of the mini doc. I mean, particularly when it comes to the sex ed parents, the way that certain laws are set up, parents do not need to be informed by the school if a teacher or counselor is talking to a student or asking them about XYZ, gender fluidity, you know, all of those things. But that is a valid point. Parents are being iced out of obtaining certain information and curriculum about what is actually in the classrooms. And that is, you know, major red flag. And it's a problem too. Many of us parents who have asked to see certain curriculum that has been or wants to be offered to kids, directly to kids by teachers. Many of us have asked, we want to see this before you offer it. And we're met with this, oh, well, we're not allowed to do that. And oh, no, you don't need to see that. And oh, you have to submit a formal public request and blah. Why? Why? You know, why? There's a reason.
Yes.
There's a reason.
So, and this really gets to the nugget here. We, as good people, we can't imagine that there's something nefarious going on. I mean, it's our kids. Everybody loves kids, right?
Right.
But I tell you, coming up in another segment, I'm going to talk about that. It used to be that everybody loves kids. That's not the case anymore. And there are people out there who want to pervert and damage children. And that includes the Communist Party. That includes the Communist Party, because a damaged child grows into a damaged adult that is easier to control and manipulate. And a healthy child that loves freedom is not easy to manipulate. And that's the big difference. And so we have to admit to ourselves that there are people within the school system, and I'm not singling out teachers or anybody, but that there are people within the school system, within the school, within our higher, let's see, our teacher training system.
Yes.
That want actively seek to damage children. And that's why we're seeing drag queen story time. There's no reason to have drag queen story time. There's a perversion that's behind that. And yeah. we have to admit that to ourselves and then say, wait, So I'm allowing my innocent young child. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And you know, I said it in the previous segment, but months and months ago, I thought much of, you know, what we're talking about here. I thought all of this was, I thought much of it was hyperbole and, oh, that's not happening in my neck of the woods. And, oh, no, that doesn't happen. It is absolutely true. And this perversion, as you say, is happening across the country. It's not only in the big cities or California, New York. It really is infiltrating into all areas of the country. And in our mini documentary, Miseducated, one of the people I talked to was Christopher Rufo, who was on the forefront of exposing CRT in corporations and schools and so forth. And what he said was he explained the roots in communism, Marxism, and how this really is a long game for dumbing down children and essentially brainwashing them for a future society that is not free. And it sounds preposterous, and it sounds, you know, it's like when you're on the outside, you say, oh, there's no way. No, this is what's happening. And I was the number one denier of that. And I couldn't believe it, but it is what's happening. And it is. I call it emergency mode right now.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to ask for a favor, because dumbing down just makes it sound like, yeah, but my kid's going to be smarter than that.
Mm.
No, damaging.
Yes.
They seek to damage children. And so if you're still sending your child into that morass, you are willing your child to be damaged. Make no bones about it. And the thing is this, what if all the teachers but one, all of them are like really good, strong Christian teachers? What about the one? Mm. What about that one? I watched, never mind. We don't have time to go into that.
I want to hear the story later.
you need to protect your children. You need to be aware of the dangers. And you're not aware of the dangers because you went to school and it was fine. Sure, there was some bullying. Sure, there was, you know, that nasty teacher who mistreated you. But that just strengthened you and made you, you know, who you are today. And so that's fine. it's off the rails now. It's more than one teacher. It's more than one bully. It's more than that now. It's in the curriculum.
It is. And it's a squashing of diversity of thought. What our country was founded on, you know, it is a bullying, scary situation where children are being bullied by adults because they know that some of the things that their teachers are telling them are wrong, but they're not allowed to express that because they will be squashed.
Yeah.
And that is abuse. And that is frightening.
Where do people go to find you?
Okay. So PragerU.com/kids. Our PragerU kids shows are free for everyone. They push back, and we like to say try to inoculate our kids against this leftist takeover in schools. We have videos for kindergarten through 12th grade about American values, celebrating values, American traditions, history, for parents to take control and supplement and really uplift our children in learning how to love this country. PragerU.com.
We have a minute left. So just describe the videos that you're talking about. This is like curricula for young people.
We call it edutainment. It's entertaining videos, 5 minutes to 10 minutes long. That is also, it's educational, but it's entertaining. Story times, animated cartoons that go back in history and learn about historical heroes, snappy fun skits for high schoolers, talking about the scientific revolution, the American Revolution, digital magazines that profile different freedom loving historical heroes, things that kids aren't necessarily learning about in schools. We've got you covered, and it's all free content, and we invite every parent and educator to become a member of our PrEP program as the foundational support to keep these videos free.
And you said PragerU.com/kids, correct?
Yes.
There it is. Jill Simonian, thanks so much. This is the Sam Sorbo Show. I'll be right back after a quick break. Hi, this is Sam Sorbo. Kevin and I have discovered this great American company that supports our traditional values and the work that we are doing to restore our culture from the lies of the left. So I want you to go check it out. You can go to sorbo.nutramedics.com and look at all their great health and wellness products. I also believe in alternative medicine. I found it very helpful for myself, especially the Nutramedics stress support kit. So I encourage you to go check that out and use the code SORBO at checkout for a discount, of course. Go to sorbo.nutramedics.com, and Nutramedics has an X, so nutramedics.com. And check out the stress support kit. Also, the other health and wellness products. Kevin uses their vitamins and stuff too. They've got a lot of great stuff. And they're an American company and they support our values. So go check it out. Use the code SORBO at checkout. You'll get a great discount on everything that you buy. And I'm sure you're going to love it. And by the way, go ahead and email me afterwards. I'd love to hear from you at samsorbo.com. Just go to my website. You can get any of my books there, my poster that I did, the Words for Warriors poster, all that great stuff. Go to samsorbo.com and I'd love to hear from you there. Thanks so much for listening. This is Sam Sorbo. All right, welcome back to the Sam Sorbo Show. I want to talk about this article that's up on the Blaze called Childhood Interrupted: Ruining Young Lives Will Not Quell Our Existential Fears. In a previous episode, we were discussing the idea that that we no longer value children and that we're willing to sacrifice our children. And in fact, I mentioned that I had just done an episode on Epic TV on my show, School's Out with Sam Sorbo, which I encourage you to go tune into and subscribe to, please, and share. And I'm getting great feedback on it, especially this recent episode called Sacrifice, where I make the case that really the best sacrifice you can make is for your children. Whatever you like, you should be looking to sacrifice for your children, because what we fail to understand these days is that the mathematical equation that we've been taught is wrong. That when you sacrifice something, you lose. That's wrong. Which is weird. It's like, wait, but mathematically, doesn't that make sense? No, in fact, It doesn't. And the reason, and the reason that I say that is because you make a choice of whether to go out to dinner or not go out to dinner. Both choices involve a sacrifice. What you're doing is you're valuing and you're making the least painful sacrifice. That's all. It's the least painful sacrifice. And so as parents, we think that the least painful sacrifice would be send our kids to school and pick up the pieces later, because kids are resilient and they'll work it out, and that we're not actually sacrificing much. We're just gaining time from me time, and I can go do my yoga class, and I can, what, you know, and the kids will get an education. This is sort of the grand bargain of our culture, of our society. And it's not paying back. It's not panning out. It hasn't been, for at least a decade or two. It's demonstrably untrue. We're not getting in exchange the thing that we thought we'd get. And so then we have to reevaluate. It's sort of like, it's $60,000 for this car, and you think that you're getting, I don't know, a BMW, you know, a Tesla, but you're not getting a Tesla. You're getting a bicycle. You're getting a one-seater, two-wheeled bicycle. And you're going, but I thought I signed up for a Tesla. And the answer is, but that was 12 years ago. You know, the deal changed over the 12 years. You're only getting a bicycle now. And it's only now that parents are going, but wait a minute. We were told we were getting Teslas. And at the same time, they don't understand that they sacrificed not just $60,000. They sacrificed a lot more than the $60,000. So this article comes up, and it starts by saying, in 2020, I watched first with disbelief, then shock and horror, as schools around the world closed and children were masked and isolated. I could not understand what was happening or why. The data was clear. COVID-19 was not a significant threat to children, far less so than the risks we already tolerated every day from sports or car rides, swimming, or even from the freshly verboten flu. Like, you're not allowed to talk about the flu anymore. Uh-oh. Well, we'll see where this goes. By the way, did I mention this is off the Blaze? Okay. So there's a chart here, the top 15 causes of death for 19 year olds and under. COVID's not on it. So how are we not all on our knees with gratitude that the virus did not take children with a fraction of the frequency with which it took adults, mainly over, you know, aged adults, let's say, right? The deaths of children from COVID, although undeniably tragic, are exceedingly rare. And so we drop down to this. He talks about this idea that, you know, we just have to sacrifice the children for the benefit of the society as a whole. So they have to wear masks. And I would put to you, it's not about the masks. I mean, it's not about the health. Sorry, it's not about health. It's something much more sinister. But that's just me. What do I know, right? I'm just an individual. He writes this: in the pre-2020 world, the welfare of children was a universally accepted, although not always perfectly practiced, priority. The importance of nurturing young people was not up for debate. And in fact, I don't know if you remember this, but they used to have kids working in coal mines until Mother Jones came along and said, well, this simply won't do. These young children shouldn't be working in coal mines. And so she organized them into our first labor union. Our first labor union was fighting on behalf of children. It was a valiant fight. It was a valid cause. The importance of nurturing young people was not up for debate. Adults intuitively sacrifice, there's that word, to ensure that kids had what they needed to grow and thrive. Of course, some children had more resources than others, but the underlying value was the same. On the whole, and up until that moment in history, kids came first. These weren't just feelings, they were facts. Tending to children followed the science. And then something in the ethos changed. In this world in which we now find ourselves living, that once sacred order is inverted. Children must be restricted to protect the old. They're defining milestones and experiences. Your graduation. No, not this year. Even though COVID's not a threat to you. Not this year. Protect the teachers? What are we doing? They're defining milestones and experiences are capriciously delayed and canceled by people who already experienced them. I love that word, capricious. It basically means just haphazardly, just for whim and whimsy. Kids' faces and airways are obscured to alleviate the anxiety of the unmasked adults around them. Well, I don't know that the adults are unmasked. Children's value, which was once predicated on their role as the literal future of humanity, has been perverted, now centering on their utility as shields for the elderly. They're regarded as vectors of disease. They're shamed for putting adults in danger by daring to openly breathe or talk in public. And so this writer goes on to talk about losing a child and some other things, but we don't need to go into that. I just want to make the case that we're sacrificing the children. We ought to be sacrificing ourselves for the children. And then there's this story. Two Florida boys, aged 13 and 14, were arrested after allegedly plotting a Columbine-style shooting attack. They had amassed guns, ammunition, knives. 13-year-old and 14-year-old. And they detained the two. There was somebody who said, hey, I think one of them has a gun. Turned out they in their locker. It turned out that didn't pan out, but they did find the cache of weapons. They're being held 21 days in a secure juvenile detention. They're going under mental health evaluations. But the mother of one of them appeared in court and defended her son. She said, he's just a little boy. He didn't think this was really serious. He didn't think they were serious. Then why all the guns? And of course, Marceno is the local sheriff. He said, this could have turned disastrous. We were 1 second away from a Columbine here. We stopped them in the planning stages. True. The teens were well known to authorities who had been to their houses previously nearly 80 times. So it's not like these kids are. Anyway, Lee County Superintendent Ken Savage said the students who came forward with the information may have saved lives. He also said students were safe at all times. All the threat assessment and emergency response training made a difference in the outcome of this incident. But I love that. Students were safe at all times. No, they weren't. That's why you had to mitigate the threat. It's like, students were safe at all times. There was a guy pointing a gun at them, but we took out the guy to keep the students safe. So they were safe all the time. No, they weren't. Not to mention, what about the two students who are now in custody? How safe were they? Oh, they were safe from shooting themselves. Maybe. Maybe not. But they certainly weren't safe. Because if they were safe, this incident would not have happened. And then the principal, Dworzanski. I commend the students who came forward to report the threat. See, they recognized that there was a threat, Therefore, the students were not safe. You idiots. I'm sorry. They lie to you parents. They lie. They lie every day. They lie. And you sit there and you take it. You're like, oh yeah, the students were safe. Sure. No, they weren't. That's why they had to take care of the threat. A threat implies a lack of safety. And so the principal, and by the way, this guy is in charge of educating children. This idiot is in charge of educating children. And by the way, I'm being kind when I call him an idiot because I think he's just an idiot. I don't necessarily attribute malice. He says, I commend the students who came forward to report the threat and the quick action of the staff. True enough. The safety of our students and staff is at the core of what we do. I thought what you did was education. Can we not just for a moment, just step back and think logically about these things? Can't we? This is the Sam Sorbo Show. Thanks for tuning in.